Well, good morning, everybody. Before we get into the sermon, I wanted to give you an opportunity to express what you are most thankful for today. This is our Thanksgiving Sunday, so I just wanted to turn it over to you. Is there anything for your life right now that you are particularly grateful for?
Family.
Health. All right, forgiveness. Yes, to actually physically be able to come to church. We may not be shaking hands and doing a lot of hugging, but at least we can see one another and smile and be together in the presence of God. Anyone else? Pardon me? I didn't catch that. Ah, okay, so you are grateful for the folks that keep this place running. Food and shelter, yeah. And a job in this crazy economy. Music, yes. Excellent music.
Freedom,
thank you, yes. You're someone who helps secure that for us. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, we are grateful to you for who you are and for the many blessings that you pour into our lives. This is a week where we focus so much of our attention on thanks and giving you thanks for all of these blessings. But God, we are a grateful people, and we don't need a calendar to tell us when to be thankful. We are thankful because we know that you are a God who provides for us abundantly. And Lord, we do want to say thank you. We thank you for all of these many blessings that have been poured out into our hearts and lives, and we pray that we would live as those who reflect gratitude back to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is a little odd for a Thanksgiving Sunday. I'm actually going to read Job chapter 14. I'm going to read it from verse 1 through verse 6. Job 14, verses 1 through 6, and the words are on screen. Now, I'll actually read them from what's on screen. I'll read it in that version. Mortals born of woman are few days and full of trouble. They spring up like flowers and wither away, like fleeting shadows they do not endure. Do you fix your eye on them? Will you bring them before you for judgment? Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one. A person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone, till he has put up his time like a hired laborer. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Job endured nightmares. He knew trouble. To say that Job knew trouble is kind of like saying water is wet. We talk about Job and Job's life as an experience of one problem after another problem. Job lost his wealth. He lost his children, he lost his reputation, and finally he lost his health, sitting there with boils on his body, wishing to die. If ever there was a man who experienced the misery that life has to bring, Job was it. There were two friends that were meeting for lunch, and the one guy told the other guy, you know what, I just came from a place where I saw 50,000 people, over 50,000 people actually, and not one of them complained, not one of them grumbled. And the guy's like, oh, come on, that's impossible. You can't be around 50,000 people who never complained or grumbled. No, I was around 50,000 who never complained or grumbled. He said, no, I don't believe you. Where was this? He said, it was the local cemetery. And there's truth in that. As long as you're in a group of human beings who are living and breathing, you're going to get complaints, you're going to get grumbling. It's the nature of life. Life itself is difficult. Life itself is painful. How much more so in 2020, this year of COVID? How many of you thought that this mess would still be with us the week of Thanksgiving? When we suspended in-person worship for the last Sunday of March, we sat around the table as staff in the conference room, and we were talking, you know, I still had hope that we would go on our summer vacation. Summer came and went, and we still have not gone on our summer vacation. And now we're into Thanksgiving week, and our numbers nationally are worse than they've ever been. It's just this massive wave that keeps coming and coming, and it's incessant. And we really, at least I really thought that we would be through with it by now. And how many of us are waiting, thinking that this year is going to be over, 2020 will come to an end? Do you really think that January 1st, 2021, anything is going to change? It's going to be more of the same. Whatever we experienced the day before is what we are experiencing and anticipating the next day, the next month. I Googled Thanksgiving 2020, and what came up was kind of alarming. People are not really thankful this year. In fact, it's the exact opposite of Thanksgiving. People are grumbling and complaining. And one of the sites that I looked at was one of the reasons, or several reasons, why Thanksgiving is the worst of our national holidays. The worst of our national holidays? How is that even possible? Thanksgiving is still real. We still have opportunities to get together and be grateful. COVID has not changed that. Yes, there are travel restrictions in place, and yes, we socially distance one from another, and I'm growing comfortable in my mask, and I don't like the idea that I'm getting comfortable wearing a mask. When I first put it on, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. And now it's just part of me. I keep two in the car. I keep two on my desk. I'm ready wherever I go with a mask. And it just doesn't even faze me anymore. But yet, this is Thanksgiving week. And yes, we can live with Job's misery. And we can grumble and complain and recognize that anyone born of a woman is born into a life of trial and a life of struggle. But I think as Christian people, we should counter that with what Paul writes. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to begin at verse 16 and 17 and 18. Paul says this, rejoice always. Huh, that's in the imperative. It's in the language of command. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We got to get the prepositions right. When we turn to Scripture, we want to make sure that we understand the prepositions. Paul says give thanks in, not give thanks for. For is causality. It's the result of. In means in the midst of or during. Paul is arguing that as people of faith who have been saved by Jesus Christ, who recognize God is the one from whom all blessings flow, that even in the midst of a terrible year like COVID 2020, even in the midst of painful realities, we can give thanks to God during the difficulties. Paul's not saying give thanks to God for COVID. When I gave you the opportunity to say what you are grateful for, not one of you said, woohoo, I'm grateful for COVID. We would have all looked at you like you were off your rocker a little bit. But yet, the condition of our hearts is such that we can be grateful during COVID. Big difference, two small little prepositions. But they make all the difference in the world. COVID has been a nightmare. COVID has taken lives. COVID has turned the economy upside down and taken wealth. COVID has done a number on education as the last couple months of the last school year were largely lost. And this school year, with kids teaching themselves at home, who thinks that's as good as being in front of a professional, caring teacher who's able to communicate what he or she wants to communicate to the students, and then seeing the light in their eyes when they actually get it. Instead, we understand the kids are sitting at home in front of their computers playing Minecraft when they're allegedly in class. So it's done a number on education. It has taken lives. It's forced us into distancing. We, for months, were not allowed to worship in person. And Sunday school is still not back to normal. We're still not meeting on Sunday mornings in the way in which we would like. Unemployment is rampant. We're living into this reality that's a nightmare, and yet Paul says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We as followers of Jesus can rise above the stuff that is all around us. We can rise above our anxiety and our fear. We can rise above our loneliness and our isolation. We can rise above the unknown and this unending thing that we are facing. And we can look with the eyes of faith and still say, this is what I am grateful for. I still have reason to give gratitude and praise to God for who God is and for all that God has done in my heart, in my life, even today. That's what Paul is encouraging us in this passage, to give thanks to God in all circumstances. So I sat down this week, and the first thing that I thought of when I thought, well, what are you most thankful for? What are you thankful for? The first thing that popped into my head is not what I am most thankful for, but it's the first thing that popped into my head. The thing that I am most thankful for is salvation and my family, but that is not what first popped into my head. You are what first popped into my head. When I was sitting down writing this sermon, I thought, well, what am I thankful for? Forest Hills United Methodist Church was the first thing that came to mind. And I don't mean 1217 Forest Hills Road, Macon, Georgia, 31210, this physical thing that we mistakenly call the church. When I came up with Forest Hills as something for which I was grateful, I meant you. You are what I am grateful for. And as I said, I'm not going to lie to you and say you're on the top of my list. You're not. You're the first one that came to mind. But I'm not more grateful for you than Carolyn and the kids, or the salvation that I enjoy, or the freedom that we far too often take for granted. But you were the first one to pop into my mind. Why? Why was I grateful for you? Why did you come to my mind? Well, there's a whole host of reasons. Let me get at that by asking this question, by answering this. When we join up with this church, we make a fivefold membership vow. It used to be four, and we added a fifth one. So everyone who has become a member of Forest Hills United Methodist Church, and even constituents who haven't joined, still are living into this on so many real levels. We say that we are going to be faithful to God through Forest Hills United Methodist Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So let me ask you, how have you been living into those realities, that fivefold commitment, as a member of Forest Hills? You see, the church, Forest Hills Church, is not this building. It is you. And you are the church, whether we are allowed to meet in person or not. You are the church when you're sitting around your kitchen table, when you're sitting in your living room watching a live stream or a TV broadcast of the service. And you are the church when you are sitting in the classroom teaching, or sitting in the classroom as a student. You are the church when you're at Walmart in line ready to check out. You are the church of Jesus Christ. And you are that church because you continue to live out your commitment. Prayers. Let's look at each one of these things in order. Prayers. Have you been praying constantly? Absolutely. In fact, your prayer life in 2020 is probably better and more faithful and stronger than in any other year. Why? Because when we recognize that we need God, we turn to God in prayer. And we need God in our lives because we have no idea what's coming around the corner. Our world has been upended. There's no end in sight to what we're living in. We're filled with anxiety and questions. So we turn to God in prayer. We turn to God for guidance. We turn to God for strength and hope and comfort and encouragement. So by your prayers, you have been faithful. By your presence, you have been faithful. Now, I'm preaching to y'all who are physically here. I'm preaching to you who have tuned in online or on TV. What's interesting is when we sat around the table thinking about what this was going to do when we had to disperse and no longer meet, staff, we were all saying that, you know, our attendance will be decimated for some time. And it wasn't. Our attendance has remained strong. In fact, because we transitioned immediately to putting the other service online as well as this service and live streaming both of them, we are now represented in 7 countries. Go figure. The good news of Jesus Christ from this congregation has tentacles that are now reaching farther and wider than when we define church as an hour on Sunday where you have to physically show up and participate. So prayers and presence have been increasing in the midst of this pandemic. Prayers, presence, and gifts. Let me talk just a moment about gifts. When we sat around the table again back in March and we talked about the bishop's order that we had to close the churches and the bishop was following our governor saying how many people could be in place and we had too big of a fellowship that we could actually meet in person, I shared with everyone that even though it looks like we're going to get a stimulus package, it would probably be smarter for us to kind of hold on to some of our personal finances because we can't be guaranteed that we will be getting the same level of paycheck in June and in September that we were enjoying in March. It was just the reality of the situation, and I shared with staff that we may all end up having to take a 20% pay cut through this year at some point because this is unprecedented, and we have no idea how Forest Hills, you, the church, is going to respond during this time of economic uncertainty. Well, guess what? Not one of us has missed a meal. Not one of us has missed a paycheck. Not one of us has had to lower our salaries. Why? Because your faithfulness to God through your gifts to this church have continued. In fact, while we were going through the budgeting process for next year, 3 different staff members, I just want to share this to let you know what kind of staff you have at this church. 3 different staff members, without prompting at all, came to me and said, Baxter, if you need to or staff parish needs to take away some of my salary for next year, you're welcome to it. In a culture that worships the almighty dollar, doesn't it make you feel really good that your staff are willing to say, my paycheck is not the most important thing in my life? And I will do this job for less money than I'm currently making? Because I love my job, and I love the people that I serve, and I recognize the call that God has placed on my life. Folks, these are the people that are leading you. Incredibly godly, self-sacrificing people. And we didn't need to do that. We may still, who knows, but we didn't need to do that. Let me share this with you. On Tuesday of this week, we posted the financials, and they went into the newsletter, and it was finalized and all of that. And year-to-date through halfway through November, no, sorry, this is the end of October, so it was October's numbers. By the end of October, we were $11,000 in expenses over what we had collected, only $11,000 shortfall through the first 10 months of the year. That was fantastic. That was Tuesday morning when we posted the numbers. Tuesday afternoon, we had received a check for $10,000 and another check for $50,000. So we posted the numbers that we were running an $11,000 deficit, and by that afternoon, we had made it up plus $49,000. Prayers, presents, and gifts. You start to see why I'm so thankful for you, the Church of Jesus Christ called Forest Hills. You're living into your commitment regardless of the nastiness that we've been living through, regardless of the uncertainty, regardless of the anxiety and the fear, you continue to be faithful to God. The fourth one is service. Prayers, presence, gifts. Service, well, there's a little caveat to service. It's kind of hard to serve When we cancel the Easter egg hunt, and so many of you volunteer for the children's ministry, it's kind of hard to serve when we cancel vacation Bible school, and so many of you volunteer for vacation Bible school. It's kind of hard to serve when we cancel River of Life. It's kind of hard to serve when we cancel Pumpkin Patch. It's kind of hard to serve when there are no opportunities to serve. We were going to do a habitat build, and we as a congregation have given $4,000 to the habitat build that's going on, and yet we couldn't go and swing hammers and saw lumber in the name of Jesus for a family member or a family in this community because Habitat International put the kibosh on it, and there's no volunteerism for the rest of this year. So they're having to pay people to do the work that we as a congregation were going to volunteer to do. And yet even in the midst of that, as soon as we open respite, I asked Lee, do you have enough volunteers? She said, yeah, we're doing well. As soon as we start back with our backpack ministry, guess what? We got volunteers again. It's not a lack of willingness. It's a lack of opportunity. So again, one big check mark for Forest Hills. Prayers, presence, gifts, service. And now we get to the final one. And this one is really tricky. It's really simple. It's our witness. In a year where grumbling is at an all-time high, in a year where you're going to get around the table, and it's probably fewer people than you normally would because of social distancing and restrictions and travel and all that kind of stuff, you're going to hear a lot of complaining and a lot of grumbling about this year. You have the opportunity to bear witness to your faith in Christ. You have an opportunity to reflect gratitude to God in the midst of this difficult year. You're not for the difficulties that you're living through, but on Facebook and Twitter and around the dining room table during Thanksgiving, you can share, yes, this year has been difficult, but praise be to God. Wow, do I ever have reasons for Thanksgiving this year. And you can share. And in sharing, you can be a witness for the good that God is doing in your life. You can live the difference that faith in Christ makes. This is how we can live into this fifth of our commitments, of our vows, prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. We can be a witness in this world. Yes, it has been a difficult year. And yes, it's going to be a difficult Thanksgiving and a difficult Christmas and a difficult 2021, at least as we begin. But folks, we are serving a resurrected Lord. We are serving a God who brings life and joy, peace and hope and freedom. And I hope that we can bear witness to our faith in Jesus Christ. We can bear witness to a God of providential abundance in telling everyone that will listen, this year, I am as thankful as ever because the God I serve and the blessings he provides. Let's pray. Gracious God, this is a year where our Thanksgiving celebrations are going to be a little different. There may not be the parades that we are used to seeing. TV football may not be all that it's cracked up to be. Shopping is certainly not going to be nearly as good as it usually is. And even our family gatherings may not be as large. But God, we don't need all of these things for our Thanksgiving celebration. What we need is thanks. What we need is gratitude in our hearts directed ultimately to you. Because you are our Heavenly Father, from whom all of our blessings flow. And God, as we bear witness to our faith around the dining room table this year, as we bear witness to our faith while we're on our computer and social media, allow us to say blatantly that we are a blessed people. And we have all kinds of reasons for gratitude this year. And let us live a little differently as a result of our gratitude. And let us lead other people to open their eyes to see reasons why they should be grateful to you for the blessings that you have provided as well. Lord, we do indeed want to say thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this incredible church, our brothers and sisters that we get to do life with. Thank you for the faithfulness of this congregation. And thank you that as we look forward to this upcoming year, we do so with eager anticipation of what you are going to do in the midst of all that we are living through. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.